Hey, it's Rachel Cook, your modern mentor. I'm the founder of Lead Above Noise. We help leaders and organizations crack their activation codes, find those simple tweaks to enhance both their performance and their employee engagement. I read an article earlier this week about the CEO of a company that recently celebrated some pretty record-breaking success. And as the teams were celebrating, they found suddenly in their inboxes an all-employee memo announcing 800 layoffs. This memo was extremely well-written. It was professional, and clearly it was overseen by various communication leaders. And also, it came entirely out of the blue. And was so profoundly tone-deaf, the CEO will likely be wading through a publicity nightmare that will cost him months and millions to resolve. Specifically, excerpts from this note included some phrases like, "I am confident this is the right decision for our future," and "These adjustments will help enable us to build our momentum," and "We have so much to be excited about." Notice nothing in there is profane or overtly offensive. What makes it offensive isn't what was said, but really what wasn't considered, like humanity. Honestly, imagine being one of the 800 people to lose their job, or equally being someone still employed and knowing you're probably going to have to pick up their slack, and reading these comments, which sound only celebratory. The CEO missed some huge opportunities here to show some real compassion and empathy, to say things like, "Here are some of the ways we'll be supporting those who are exiting as they seek their next opportunities. And for those remaining with us, you may feel sad about seeing colleagues go or anxious about the workload you're afraid you'll be taking on. Here are some of the ways in which we'll be supporting you." With a little bit of thought and planning, he could have totally and completely shifted the tone and the impact of that memo without changing the reality of the layoffs. In any role, in any industry, communication is key. And as a whole, I see us, like the royal us, letting too many opportunities for good communication pass us by. And I'd like us to stop duplicating these. Let me know if any resonate for you. The first is the opportunity to empathize. This one may be the biggest, and it is precisely what this CEO just showcased for us. So thank you, CEO. We're hearing a lot about empathy these days, but frankly, I think a lot of leaders are still struggling to grasp it. They're conflating empathy with sympathy, with an excess of softness or even disingenuous kindness. But really, empathy is simply the willingness and the ability to see something from the perspective of another. It's not about not saying hard things. It's about saying them in a way that helps them to be received better. I have one client, for example, who struggles with deadlines. Like, I submit a draft of something and it takes her a really long time to get me feedback, which means that our timeline keeps expanding. What I want to say is, "Hey friend, you're killing me here. Please get me the feedback faster so we can lock this up." But what I actually say is, "I want to make sure we get the final product in your hands before the end of the quarter so you feel completely prepared and confident in rolling this out to the organization." Both messages say, "Hey, I need you to move faster." But can you hear the difference? In one, I'm nagging her out of my own self-interest. But in the other, I'm reminding her of why it's best for her if we get it done quickly. In both cases, she's got to hurry. But the empathetic message is more likely to trigger the behavior that I want. Okay, the next is the opportunity to raise up the lead. This is the opposite of burying the lead. You know, that thing we do when we say a whole bunch of words and somewhere in the back half is our point. Take that last example I just shared about that foot-dragging client. I could say to her something like, "So I'm looking at our timeline, and I see that we've done these 7 things, and we still have these 5 things, and I'll be working on X while you work on Y. And also, if we don't get it done within the week, we'll miss our deadline completely, and I hope you enjoy your weekend." Did you catch that? Toward the back, that whole, "Hey, we may totally fail to get this done in time." It may sound silly, but I see this all the time. I'll be in a meeting with a leadership team and someone projects an update with a million boxes and colors. And as they start talking, I see their colleagues struggling to stay awake. There are visuals on the board for days and a presenter fit to discuss it all, but it's too much. I always counsel in these cases to start with a summary of the 2 to 3 things that everyone needs to know. Are we on track? Is something at risk? Do you need help? Do you need a resource? The human attention span is getting shorter and shorter, so make sure you front-load a conversation with the things people most need to know. So if they fall asleep, you still get what you need. The next is the opportunity to get real input. The last time your boss asked, "Hey, do you have any feedback for me?" what did you say? You may be an outlier, and I hope you are, but I can tell you with confidence that when many of my clients pose this question, they get some version of, "Nah, boss, you're doing great." Same goes for the question, "Here's my plan. What do you think?" The easiest answer is, "It looks spot on." In the world of real and meaningful conversation, this is a huge missed opportunity. Because leader or not, we can all benefit from feedback on our performance or our plan or our pitch. We just have to learn to ask better questions. Instead of, "Do you have feedback for me?" try asking, "Would you share one or two things I'm doing well and maybe one or two things I might improve upon?" Instead of, "What do you think of my plan?" try, "Here are my initial ideas based on my experience, but would you poke a hole or help me to see something I've overlooked or misunderstood?" The shift is small, but the point is to ask a question that lovingly forces an answer, that leaves no room for, "No, you're all good," because that serves no one. And finally, the opportunity to connect. I've talked a lot about the importance of connection on the podcast. I'll link to a few episodes in the show notes. And I echo connection often because it's the linchpin of communication, keeping the wheel of communication in motion. To be an in-tune leader or a dialed-up employee, connection is key. So this is a gentle public service announcement reminding you to be willing to step off agenda, to drive toward an outcome, but also know it's okay to invest a few minutes in just chatting, in catching up, finding something you and others in the room have in common. You know, connecting. It will absolutely serve your ability to collaborate on a stronger outcome. So good luck with your communication endeavors this week. Let me know how it goes. Join me next week for another great episode. Until then, visit my website at leadabovenoise.com if your organization is looking to crack its activation code, dialing up performance and employee engagement. You can find Modern Mentor on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Find and follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks so much for listening and have a successful week. Modern Mentor is a quick and dirty tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Dan Feuerbend. Our director of podcasts is Brandon Getches. Our podcast and advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchings. Our marketing and publicity assistant is Davina Tomlin. And Cameron Lacey is our marketing contractor.